Good morning.
Morning.
Folks to enunciate. Good morning. You hear me all right up there? Well, we're going to continue this morning in Best Walk by Faith When Storms Come. Next week, we're going to be talking about faith to faith. As I said, I want to spend the year looking at faith, looking at prayer, and looking at a lot of things, a lot of topics that come from God's Word that can help us grow. After all, it says make disciples. That's what we're about. We want to make disciples. I want you to be able to lead someone, not have to call the preacher up and ask to. And I've had that happen. I'm not putting anybody down. I'm not real comfortable sometimes sharing with you. Everyone in this room that is a Christian has probably been one long enough. You need to start knowing what you believe and why you believe. Today we're going to talk about walking by faith when storms come. If you're a Christian or not, storms are going to come in your life. Trials are going to come. Especially if you're a Christian, especially if you're serving the Lord, especially if you're out there working for Him, trying to bring Him. Because our adversary, the devil, does not like coming to Christ. He will do anything he can to stick you up. And we're going to see here today how we need to lean on Jesus Christ's feet. Text out of Matthew 14, verses 22-30. Says, immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had dismissed the crowd, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beat by the waves, for the wind was against him. And in the fourth watch of the night, came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Father, I thank you this morning that your word never comes back to empty, but does what you send it out. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would walk the aisles, you would rise up in the heart of people. Lord, would encourage us, teach us by your word. Your word is truth. When all the heavens and everything in them and the earth burn, your word will still be. Lord, it's established forever. And I thank you for that foundation, Kevin. If there are any here today who are struggling, going through trials and storms, I pray this message will encourage you. If there are any here today who are not believers, who have not gave up, surrendered their lives, who I pray this that day. Oh Lord, I pray that no one will harden their voice again. But this is your day of salvation. Anoint your servant to preach. I ask you. Amen. Familiar story. It's recorded in Luke, I think, in Matthew. Now, I might be wrong about Luke. Left out in Mark, and they said Peter dictated the Gospel of Mark. So Peter probably left it out for a reason. He said, let's not talk about me trying to walk on. Jesus had learned that Herod had killed John the Baptist. And he said he got into a boat with his disciples and he went to a desert place. And you got to understand that he at that time beat the bread. John was his cousin. They worked closely in ministry. Of course, John told the people, Jesus has to increase, I have to decrease. Whether John knew he was speaking about his death or not, I don't know. But it said when Jesus learned, he went to be alone. But the crowds, when they saw where he was headed, they ran ahead of him, got there ahead of him. The Bible says when the boat came to shore, Jesus was moved with compassion. He saw the crowd. So he sat down and taught them that day. Spent the day teaching. And then in the evening, his disciples said, send them away so they can buy food to eat. Jesus said, you give them something to eat. They said, all we have is 5 loaves of fishes. Jesus said, command the people to sit down. There were 5,000 men, not counting women and children. I've heard his estimates as high as 15,000. I don't know if that's not stretching some, but nothing's impossible for the Lord. But they just said 5,000 men sat down. Jesus prayed, broke the loaves and the fish, and gave them to the apostles. They gave them to the crowd. And when they were done, they ate till they were full, and they took up 12 baskets. Now, I'm giving you this background for a reason. John says that it was at this time Jesus knew the people intended to come and take him by force and make him. A lot of them believed that Jesus was their Messiah, but they didn't understand what Messiah came to do. And they were looking for an earthly kingdom, including his disciples. And I think John tells us that Jesus sent them away because they were getting caught up. They were excited. They were saying, yes, Lord, now it's time for us to go to Jerusalem. Now it's time to proclaim the king. And we'll get the zealots and we'll raise an army and we're going to kick the Romans out. That's not why Jesus could not do that and fulfill the Father's will. So Matthew omits why Jesus sent away, but he shows the urgency with which Jesus sent them. He said immediately, he made them get into a boat and go to the other side. Jesus had to separate his disciples from the crowd. And then after he let the crowd go, it says he went up by a mountain by himself, went up on a mountain by himself or a hill, and he prayed. Jesus was a man of prayer. And he left that example for his church. We should be people of prayer. When I was thinking about this week, I thought, there he's been all day teaching. He did the miracle. He fed these people. And I think Jesus needed a recharging, if you'll let me use that word. The temptation must have been great. You remember that was one of the temptations that Satan tempted the Lord with. If you'll just worship me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. And in a sense, I think the devil was working with that crowd to make him the king. That'd be a hard thing to turn down. Power? Most men today would have taken that deal, I'm afraid. The offer of power has power over all the people. But Jesus didn't. He sent the crowd away, but then he went up to pray. I have noticed that every time in Scripture when I'm reading about our Lord, when he had a major decision to make, pray. He went up on the mountain and prayed all night when he chose the 12. We'd be good to learn that in the church when we choose elders to be. Instead of just electing somebody that we think could be a good elder because they're a good old boy, we like the personality, you know. Some people, well, because they're used to control, they like to have it for elders. God help. we lay hands on elders and ordain them for that office. Paul told Timothy, lay hands suddenly on no man. I had a woman at one church tell me that's why we shouldn't jump out and scare people. I said, why? She said, because Paul said, lay hands on no man suddenly. And I said, darling, he wasn't talking about scaring, he's talking about ordaining. Jesus didn't choose his 12 until he prayed all night, and he sought the Father's will. Father, who should I appoint? Because he was the Word of God, God in the flesh. He had a connection with God that most of us don't have. But he was also a man, and he had to depend on his Father. He told the Jews, I don't do anything on my own. Everything I do, I see what the Father's doing, and I work with him through feeding the 5,000. So I see the Lord on the mountaintop saying, okay, Lord, I just barely got through that. I need your protection. He was probably praying for his disciples. Lord, open their eyes. They don't understand yet. They think I'm here to give them an earthly kingdom. And the danger of that was they may turn away when they realize that's not why I'm here. And the Bible says he prayed until evening, and he looked out and he saw that his guys were in trouble. Now, this lake, if I remember right, is 6 miles wide or 7 miles wide, and they were in about the middle. How did Jesus see 3.5 miles out? God. He looked out there in the third watch of the night. The Jews divided the night into 3 watches for the day. The Romans 4. So here the Jews are using the Roman system. The third watch was from the hours of 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. He'd been up there praying for quite a while. And it says that Jesus just took off walking across the lake. His men needed him. They were in trouble. You remember last week we talked about where he was in the boat with them when the storm came. And he didn't say, hey guys, let's go drown. He said, let's go to the other side. And they woke him up and said, Lord, don't you care that we're going to perish? Well, Jesus knew they weren't going to perish. He said, let's go to the other side. Now he has sent them. And they're obeying his command, but what's happened? A storm of wind has come up again. It's a headwind. And they are trying their best to get to shore. They've been out there for several hours rowing against this wind and these waves. And they weren't making very good headway. And what was ultimately going to happen is they were going to get tired. They were going to get exhausted. And if that storm outlasted their strength, they were going to die. And Jesus took off walking across the top of the water, the fourth watch, and he found them in that darkness. That's amazing. There was no foghorns on those boats, no light, but Jesus found them in the darkness where they were at. One gospel said he started to walk right by them. This one says his men saw him and they screamed. You ever heard men scream? It's terrible. Men get scared enough, they scream. We like to scare other men and teach them to scream like a girl. And these guys screamed and said, oh, it's a ghost. You know why they said that? I may have told you this before. They believed that the Sea of Galilee was actually the entrance into the abyss, the underworld. They also believed that when men drowned in that sea, in that lake, their spirits were still there. Some of them believe that when the waves started getting rough, it's because those spirits were agitated. Now, four of the men on this boat are sailors. They've been that all their life. They've been fishermen. And I'm not saying that they all believe that. But when they saw the Lord cutting across the top of the waters, they said, it's a ghost. Maybe they thought it was the ghost of a fisherman that had drowned or a demonic spirit, because they believe demons could stir them waters up. They're already tired. They're already thinking, we're not going to be able to get to the shore. And now they look up and see this spirit and says, well, there we go. We're going to die. I like what the Lord says. Don't be afraid. Die. Job described the omnipotent God, or omnipotent, however you want to pronounce that, the all-powerful God. Listen to how he describes him. He is wise in heart and mighty in strength. Who has hardened himself against him? He who removes mountains, and they know it not. When he overturns them in his anger, who shakes the earth out of its place, and its pillars tremble. Who commands the sun, and it does not rise. Who seals up the stars. Who alone stretched out the heavens, and trampled the waves of the sea. The great things walk on water. This wasn't just any man that was walking on the water. This was the I Am. Spoke to Moses out of the burning bush. This is the I Am who led the children of Israel up to the Red Sea and then parted it so they could walk through on dry ground. And when the Egyptians came in behind him, he closed the waters behind Israel, and he drowned the whole Egyptian army. Same God. When Jesus was walking on the water, I'm going to do the hermeneutics now. Hermeneutics means bring it into our time. What's this got to do with us? I don't plan on being out on a lake or crossing the sea. Everything those men feared was represented by those. So I told you, some of them believed it was the opening of the abyss. That might have been a demon walking across that water, or the spirit of a dead fish. And here we are in this water, and we're out of control. Go figure. We're out of control. Christian, I'm going to share something with you that the quicker you learn this, the less stress you're going to have in your life. You are not in control. You cannot be in control. These men fought this storm with everything in them, and it wasn't doing any good. It wasn't until the great I Am came up. He was showing them everything you fear, everything that troubles you is under my feet. Praise the Lord. The Bible says that he sits at the right hand of the Father, waiting for all of his enemies to be made a footstool. The only enemy he hasn't conquered yet is death. But Jesus expects that he will conquer death. He believes that. He lives by faith, just like he asked you and I to. He believes that one day the Father's going to say, it's time to go. And he will shout and all the graves will open and all the dead will come out. Jesus said that himself. And he said, they that have done good will come to the resurrection of the righteous. They who have done evil will be raised to be damned, to be judged, condemned. Jesus was showing his men, everything is under my feet. And people like to make fun of Peter. Yeah, old Peter, he always had the foot in his mouth. He just had to say something. I'm going to tell you something, church. We need people willing to step out of the boat and get out and walk where the Lord walks. Peter did not like that boat anymore. And he said, Lord, if it's you, let me come to you. And Jesus said, come. And I think when he swung the leg over the side, the rest of the church said, oh, Peter, sit down, you're rocking the boat. What are you doing, Peter? Sit down. Be like the rest of us. Peter said, oh, man, I'll see you later. I'm going to the Lord. And in the world we're in today, you know, the church is in a pretty bad storm, right? We got perverts and preverts, every other kind of vert, trying to put down the church, telling us that you have no right to push your gospel. you're teaching on us?
Well, I'm not trying to push anything. I'm a servant of Christ. And I say what my Lord tells me to say. And I'm here, as Paul said, and so are you. I'm an ambassador of Christ. You know that's your call? Whether or not you're ever called to be behind a pulpit or teach a Sunday school class, you are still an ambassador of Christ. You don't belong to this world if you're a Christian. Now, if you're not a Christian, this world is your home, Satan is your God, and you're going to live and die here. It ain't going to be it. I'm not saying that's it. But you ain't going to be with the Lord in the resurrection. I didn't say that yet. And the Lord today is wanting to move in His church, and we're all sitting in the boat quite comfortable, thank you. We don't want to walk where He is. And I can see Jesus today saying to the church, let's go. Come on, I'll show you how to do this. Don't be afraid what to say. I'll put the words in your mouth. You just be available. So old Peter's going, he's always shooting his mouth off, and he decides he's going to walk to the Lord, and he does it. How close was Peter when he began to sing? How close was he to Jesus? Within arm's reach. He got within arm's reach of the Lord, and he looked around and thought, I can't walk on water. Blew, started thinking. And he cried out, Lord, save me. And it said, he didn't let him choke in that water. He didn't let him go under once. Say, you deserve that. Immediately he caught him. He said, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And again I say, Lord, walking on water, why did I doubt? Peter couldn't walk on water, but he could do all things Christ strength. So even walking on water. I think if Peter would have kept his eyes on the Lord, he'd have made it. He was just an arm's reach away. Almost there. Almost. I wonder how often, church, we get almost there. Then we quit. No sense being a fool about this. We've never done it this way before. Famous last words of the church. We've never done it this way before. And we don't like breaking with tradition, so we're not going to. None of us are comfortable breaking out of our comfort zone. But that's where Jesus is. Yeah. And I'm not up here just spouting off to kill time. I have experienced my own life. Here's something else you can learn. When you're going through the storm, Jesus isn't loose. He's not over there thinking, this is funny, boss. Right there. And I really sincerely mean this. I pity that have never known. Yeah. When you're in those trials and those storms, you're praying. You keep praying. And you keep praying. Till you break. And the Holy Spirit, Spirit of Christ, mind of Christ, speaks through you. Says, take courage. Bye. Never known that. I really. And a lot of the faith never went that far. Jesus still walks. Oh, that? Jesus is above everything that He still holds down. The Apostle Paul went as far to say that he had been seated with the heavens. Paul, I don't. Doesn't matter where he's gone. That's the reality of it. I've been asked, and I was asked several people, talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Do you believe that we get all the Holy Spirit when we get saved? And I said, well, that's like asking, do I just get a part of God? I said, we get all of God when we're saved, but He don't get all of us.
And we spend a lifetime fighting with him, arguing with him, playing tug of war with him. And he's persistent because he loves you. And he'll say, give that to you. Oh, no, Lord, not that. Yeah, I want that. And instead of giving it to him, we tuck it back in a little secret place in our heart, and nobody knows about it except God. He won't leave it. Give it to him right back. But I knew a preacher, he called that faith a giant. He said, God will bring a giant up before you that's in your life. Something that's defeating you, something that has you bound by fear. He'll say, slay that giant. Oh, Lord, I don't want to slay that giant. I like my giant, Lord. You know, I kind of like having him around. Does a Christian have to sin? Nope. That's why we sin. There ain't nothing with a sin nature that's got anything to do. We are self-centered, egocentric, narcissistic. Anything else that represents that we focus on self more than on God. And God said, you can't love me like that. You got to love me more than you love yourself. Well, who does God think you do? I want to love him more than myself. Who think you are to love yourself more than you love God? Just right back at it. I'm sure God probably says, well, who do you think you are? My life was a mess before Jesus Christ was holy. And sometimes I still go through real hard trials, storms, and I'm learning to immediately call out on the Lord. I was praying to him the other day, and I hadn't done this before, and I said, you are God, my deliverer. Just come out. Yeah, you're my deliverer. I like that. And when I call, he says, I'm right here. Well, he doesn't say that to me. Well, James says you ask and don't receive because you ask amiss. Or you don't believe you're going to receive anyway. I'll give you a third option. We like our sin. And we cry out to God insincerely, oh, Lord, I know this sin. Help me to get rid of this. And God says, I'm willing if you are. I was praying one time, and I remember the Lord said to me, I did everything I could for you on the cross. You need to receive it. Stop playing games. God ain't got time for your game or my game. It's not a matter of if storms come against a Christian. It's a matter of when. Because they will come. Jesus said, in this world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. We need to have the attitude of the Apostle Paul. Forgetting what lies behind me, I strain ahead. We like to stay in the past. We like to stay in our failures. We like to pray to God and remind him over and over and over again how wretched we are. And God says, I know how wretched you are. But I saved you. I cleansed you. I sanctified you for a holy purpose. You're my child and you're holy. No, I won't be holy till I wear my shirts down to here and the girls got to wear their skirts to their ankles. They can't wear makeup or jewelry. They can't braid their hair. Then they're holy. Well, that's just your opinion of holiness, and God nowhere in the Bible says you're holy when you've reached your opinion of holiness. We like that because it's an outward show. See, we're different. God called us to be different, so we're different. We don't watch TV. We don't go to movies. We don't go to dances. Bless God, you need to get saved and have all the fun we're having. Yeah, that's the way it comes across. And a lot of times, the sinners will look at that and say, man, I can get drunk and be an idiot. You know, I ain't got to come to your church. Jesus wants to be Lord of all, or not at all. I got that to come. I want to be your Lord
of all, or I'm not going to be your Lord at all. That's kind of harsh.
True.
Jesus said you got to die every day. I love the ending of this story. It says when they got back to the boat, they, Jesus not only called Peter's hand, he caught his hand and he rebuked him. He said, why did you doubt? Where's your faith? I just fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, and you're out here doubting me already. What, at 3 hours, you're back to doubting. You ever do that, Christian? You get on the mountaintop and go, woo, glory to God, God is good. And then trouble comes, oh, God, what's going on? I thought you liked me. Why am I going to? He must be mad at me. Just say that. Go through some bad trial and you'll think, well, God's mad at me. No, he's not. What did he do here? He used this to teach his church a real good lesson. You can't be in control, but I can. He reached down and he pulls Peter up with him, and I believe this, Jesus gets a hold of his arm with both hands. He goes, come on, Peter, let's go back to the boat. And said, when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Trouble stopped, trial. And everybody in the boat came and fell at feet and said, truly you are the Son of God. How long did that last? Till they got to the other side. Don't we do that, Chris? God gives us victory and we'll forget. Sometimes you need to look back. I'm not saying to live in the past. Look back. One preacher I heard, he said, you need to journal. Have a prayer journal. And he said, boy, you'll read through that a year later and you'll say, oh, yeah, man, I remember when God did this. I've heard people refer to our faith, Christians, as blind. My faith isn't blind. I know who I believe in. I've read all about him. And I've experienced him. That's how faith grows. Through your personal experience. God may not let trials come on you that he lets come on me, and he may not let trials come on me that comes on you, but the result of both those instances is God's glory. In Christ, we can do all things. Oh, yeah, but more people kind of put out if you share Christ with them. In Christ, we can do all things. Who do you want mad at you, the world or the Lord? I don't know. That's not too hard of a choice for me. Jesus said, Peter, let's go back. And was that the last time Peter lost faith? But even then, it impressed me. The night that he strayed, he looked at Peter and he said, Simon, Satan has desired this to us, but I have prayed faith because of you. Well, why didn't you just tell him no? He couldn't sit for the last week. Peter needed. See, God who knows all things, he knows what you can and cannot take. Everything he allows to come against you in the form of a storm or a trial, because he's wanting to make you a stronger person. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Faith increases by our perseverance. Personal faith. I can't take my faith to put it. There's some of you in here may have stronger faith than I do. But I'm not competing with you. I'm following God. I have found that I always walk in victory, even when I'm down. Because I know he's going to pick me up like Peter. There are times in my Christian life I still cry out, Lord, save me. And I've never heard him say, nope.
You got yourself in it, you get yourself out. He reaches out immediately. And don't be afraid, I'm out of here. That's the guy I want. You know, some people, when they face trials, all they got is alcohol. The weed. So, short a few lines, I'll be fine this morning. And in the morning you wake up, and problems are still there. Snort some more, so I got teeth. That's a pseudo, it's a false. The world promised me peace still alive. Jesus promised me, and I had. Yeah. Do I ever get scared or angry or frustrated? Oh yeah. But I know that all that this world can do to kill my body can't touch me. That's in the hand. Where are you at? Are you following the Master? You know, Jesus said it's not enough just to believe in Him, and we hear that garbage all the time. All you got to do is believe. All you got to do is believe. Sound like a parrot. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord? Don't look at me. Like, take up your cross every day. Walk. Guide yourself. In fact, he said, if you can't do that, you're not my disciple. You will be one of them on the day of judgment. Here's, depart from me. I never knew you. I don't want to hear that. Where's your heart? Can you honestly say that you are following Jesus Christ with every fiber of your being? Now, if you're honest, you're going to say no. Would you make that commitment for Him? Not to me, to Him. Say, Lord, I don't want you just to be my Savior. I want you to be Lord over my whole life. Be the King of all that I have. I'll tell you, it changes. Christian, there's nothing you're going through right now that He will not give you. You just have to persevere, keep the faith, keep going forward. I read in the prophet Micah the other day, a righteous man falls seven times gets better. I love that. He didn't say a righteous man never falls. He said, if you fall seven times. If you've never made that decision, called on the Lord salvation, I ask you to come up here and we'll talk. If you're struggling and you say, you know, I'm trying to be in control, I invite you right where you are to give that control up and to say, God, I can't control this. Only bodies. I heard David Green on the radio the other day. He owns Hobby Lobby. But he doesn't. He wrote a book called Giving It All Away and Getting It Back. Hobby Lobby, 50% of the profits of Hobby Lobby go to the Lord. And they said, doesn't that stress you out? He said, no, this is God's business. It's not mine. He said, I have peace when I look at it like, this is God's business. God pays me a salary for running this business. But they're not getting wealthy off of it. 50% of the profits go to God. Wow. That's faith. Quit trying to control your life. Give control to Him. Please, Bob, better. Go ahead.
For me, see on the portals He's waiting and watching for you and for me. Come home, who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home. Oh, for the wonderful love he has promised for you and for me. Though we have sinned, he has mercy and pardon, pardon for you and for me. Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling a sinner, come home.
Please remember the Pharaoh's going to Brian's mother's house away Friday. Tomorrow there'll be a memorial here at the church. Also a dinner for the family after the service. Praying. Any other requests? Bring the ball. Weather permitting, come back tonight. Dr. Mark's been on the sauna.
Pastor,
sir?
We're now under a winter storm. We will have 1 to 3 inches by 6 o'clock.
Oh.
So tonight is okay. Closing.
If it starts getting slick, we ain't having service. That's plain as I can put it. We just ain't gonna do it. We don't want anybody getting hurt. Anything else? Brother Wayne, close.
Father God, we come to you just in humble hearts, Lord, thanking you so much for each and every blessing that you give us, each and everything you do for us. Thank you, Lord, that Jesus came to this earth and suffered and died on the cross, that we could have that peace that Rick talked about. We could have that joy in our heart. Help us, Father, to be bold in our service to you. We just pray, Lord, for each and every family member here. We ask your blessings on us as we go our various ways. Forgive us when we fail you. Help us to get up and try again. In Christ I pray. Amen.
Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Lord Emmanuel, God is with us, blessed Redeemer, living Word, blessed Redeemer, living Word.
God be blessed. Be safe.